Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I know time is getting on, and I think there's a little bit of length to this message, but I may, if the Lord leads me, I may have to kind of try to carry on like I'm on the radio, or maybe not quite so much, but run out of time quick on the radio and hit some of the high points. But verse 26, he says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." I'd love to do that this morning here. "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Now, if Lord help me, I want to preach from this account the gospel of Jesus Christ and talk just a little bit about baptizing this morning. It is in the scripture here in this account, and you find it in chapter 9, and you find it again in chapter 10. But I want to try to focus in here for a little while on this. And the book of Acts is started out really in chapter 1 with the Lord ascending back up to heaven. But he told them in verse 8 of chapter 1, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he said, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And today, where we pick up in chapter 8, Jerusalem had already received the gospel. Judea, no doubt, had. We find in verse 4 of this chapter that I read, I didn't read that verse, but Saul was persecuting the church. The Bible said he was wreaking havoc on the church. But in verse 4 it said, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So the ones that were being persecuted, they left. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but many of the rest of them left. But while they went, they carried the word. So no doubt this was getting into the regions of Judea. But here in the 8th chapter, the word comes to Samaria. And that happens, I didn't read all of this to you, that happens in verse 5 when Philip, the man that I read about there, said he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, when we hear that in chapter 1, verse 8, that you're going to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the other parts, most part of the earth, we don't think a whole lot about that. We think, well, that means the Lord is wanting the gospel to go everywhere. And that seems natural to us. And he is, and he did want the gospel to go everywhere. But to a Jew, that might have been peculiar, because they always were kind of exclusive. Now, you could become a Jew if you wanted to change your lifestyle to the extent that you had to change it. You could be a proselyte and become one of them. But they were very exclusive, and there was a lot of hostility that went back between them and the Samaritans. And I won't go into all of that. I don't know all of it, but I know enough of it to know that there was pretty well hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. I mean, a lot of disdain between them. It goes all the way back to when Israel split up into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and the Assyrians came in and conquered in Samaria and took some of them captive and sent some of their people in, and the people there of the northern tribes blended and mixed in with those Assyrians, and so then the people from the southern part, Judah and Benjamin, began to look at them as a mixed breed of people. They had broken God's commandment in intermarrying with those foreign nations, and also had set up worship there instead of going back to Jerusalem to worship. And so there was a great rift between them. And even when the Babylonian captivity was ended and the captives came back to Jerusalem to build the temple, the Samaritans wanted to help, and the Jews said, "You've not got no part in this." And so there was a great division between them, and for Jesus to tell them that, "I want you to go to Samaria, that one day after you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to go to Samaria and preach the word," well, that would have meant more to them than what it meant to you and I. And unto this point, it had not reached the land of Samaria just yet, but Philip, incidentally, was one of the seven that they chose that we kind of call deacons, and those seven men that they chose out to serve tables, he left his table under the direction of the Spirit of God and did some evangelizing in a place called Samaria. And he gladly preached the word of Christ unto them, and they gladly received. Brother William was talking about that lady this morning that left her water pot. She was a Samaritan. You know, Jesus had already showed how serious he was about this when he told his disciples. He said, "I must needs go through Samaria." Again, when I read that, and all of my life, I never thought a whole lot about that. Okay, the Lord needs to go through Samaria. Well, he met the lady there at the well that had those husbands, and he told her all things that ever she did, and she got saved. She left her water pot, and it was a wonderful story, but I never did connect all of that. What must the disciples have thought? Full-bred Jews that had kept on worshiping in Jerusalem, and now here was the Messiah, and he said, "Let's leave from here at Jerusalem. I've got to go to Samaria." And so he went over there, and so they knew a little bit about Christ. No doubt they had heard some tale, but they actually came in contact with him. Right after that lady left her water pot, she went and said, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And they came out and they listened to him, and they said, "We believe him now, not because of what you said, but we've heard him and seen him for ourselves." And they asked Jesus to abide with them for 2 days, and he obliged them. He stayed with the Samaritans for 2 days. Again, we wouldn't have thought a whole lot of that. That's just one in many things. But Jesus was showing us something right here. This thing that he was bringing to the world was going to... Now, I know he said, "I come not to bring peace, but division." And that's true in a way, because every person has to decide whether or not to receive him or to reject him. And so within one house, it does bring division. But on another scale, he was bringing things together that had long been divided, bringing things together, and we'll see that further here. And he proved them to them his seriousness about this when he abode with them for 2 days. So when the Spirit of God led Philip, why, it was a perfectly good and righteous thing. And he went down there, and those people with one accord accepted what he was preaching. They saw the miracles and the demons being cast out, and they heard him preach of the kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ, and they accepted the word and said whenever they believed, they were baptized. And that was the prerequisite to being baptized. They had to believe the word of God, and he baptized them. And I'm going to hurry through this because it's taking a while. I told you I might give you a radio message, and I've just already about gone back on that. But the apostles from Jerusalem, and I'm just building here, they came down to check out what was happening. They sent Peter and John, and they came down there, and they found that what was going on was right. The gospel that had been preached was right. Jesus had told them this day was going to come.
He was going to send them to the Samaritans. And they prayed for them and laid hands on them. And they received the Holy Ghost. And so the Samaritans were ushered in. They were ushered into this. God had covered and patched up a rift that had been going on for a long, long time. There wasn't any man could have brought the Jews and the Samaritans together, but Christ brought them together. You see, up until that, they were separate, but after that, they was all one in Christ. He brought them together, and He's still doing that today. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad it doesn't matter. Amen. What your race is, it doesn't matter anything, except you're willing to meet the terms of the gospel. And if you'll do that, you'll be just as saved as the greatest preacher that ever lived. Amen. There's level ground at Calvary this morning. And so I'm trying to get to where I read from. So all of that was going on, and they began to leave and go back to Jerusalem, and they just preached in Samaritan villages all along the way. And then all of a sudden, something kind of strange. The Lord sent an angel and told Philip, He said, go down south toward the way that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And you know what Philip did? He didn't say, Lord, I've been seeing all this. This is great. Lord, You've brought in the Samaritans. You've ushered in something that I never thought I'd see. Lord, don't make me leave here. No, he did just what the angel of the Lord said. He left what he had been doing, and he went to where God's messenger told him to go. And as he went on that way, there's one chariot. And then it wasn't the angel, but it was the Spirit this time. You go back and read it. The Spirit said, go and join thyself to this chariot. And so he ran down and caught up with the chariot, and he heard the man sitting in the chariot reading out of Isaiah. But this man wasn't a Samaritan, and he wasn't a Jew. He was an Ethiopian. He was a black man. What he was. And he was one man. He's just one man. He might have had a driver, may have had some people with him, because he was a man of great authority under Candace the Queen, but he was just one man. Why would the Lord send a man like Philip to leave that whole area and come down there into the desert to find just one man? But you know, he said, I leave the 99 in the wilderness. I leave the 99 and go find the one that's lost. And he said, whenever the shepherd, this in Luke 15, he said, whenever the shepherd finds that one, said he brings him back on his shoulders rejoicing. Glad because of the one that he found. And he said he rejoiced more over that than the 99. And he said, that's how it is in heaven when one gets saved. He said, there's more rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. I'm glad the Lord cares about just one this morning. He cares about all, but the day that I got saved, it felt like it was just me. I thought it felt like I was the only one in the world. And I'll tell you what, if the Lord saved 20 this morning to you, it would just be a one-on-one thing. It would just be between you and God, and you'd feel like you was the only one. But unbeknownst to you, He'd be having a one-on-one with somebody else and somebody else. And you know, God can do that this morning. He can save people. He can do it one by one. To us, it seems like it might be by the hundreds. They had, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. But every one of them was an individual case. It was one by one. The Lord saved them. He can do that. He can be present all places at one time. Now, I can't do that. And you know who else can't do that? That's the devil. He can't be everywhere at one time. But God can. They call that omnipresent. Omnipresent. He's all present, ever present. He can do that. And I mean, He can hear all our karma. I've got to go on. Amen. But so there it was. And it was an Ethiopian. So now this man had no Jewish blood. He wasn't even a part Jew. But God had sent him down here to preach to this man. Amen. You know, in Revelations, it talks about a day coming whenever we start praising the Lamb. And we say, worthy is the Lamb because You have redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every nation and kindred and tongue. You know what? It ain't just going to be white folks in heaven. Amen. You know, we live in an area right here. We have a program on Wednesday night, and we have a whole bunch of Hispanic kids that come, and the Mill Village and all this is not just filled with white folks anymore. And I ain't come to preach on race. I've come to preach on Jesus Christ this morning. But this just has to be what happens to be what's going on in the Scripture. The Lord is showing us that this thing's for everybody. Amen. It don't matter. Amen. So Philip just went right on down to the Ethiopian. He never stopped and said, "Lord, he ain't the same color as me." He just got right on up and he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" I saw a boy at the gas station one time sitting on the sidewalk reading the Bible. And I thought about this story. And I walked up to him. I said, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "Yeah." He did. It wasn't the same. But when Philip asked him, "Do you understand what thou readest?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And that boy told me he knew what he was reading. So that kind of left me out in the cold. But Philip was sent down there by the Holy Ghost. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" So he got up in the chariot with him and rode. And he read there out of Isaiah. And we read what it was he read: as a lamb to the slaughter, a sheep led to the slaughter, and a lamb to her shearers is dumb. And so he was dumb. He'd opened not his mouth, rather. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" And then Philip started at this very same scripture and preached unto him Jesus this morning. He preached to him the same Jesus that he preached to the Samaritans here this morning. And this starts off three, and really I guess four if you can in the Samaritans, but three big notable conversions. You look in chapter 8, you've got the eunuch. You look in chapter 9, you've got Saul. And then in chapter 10, you've got Cornelius. If you look at it, and I learned this in study, and I didn't know this prior to studying for this message. The Ethiopian eunuch, being a black man, an Ethiopian, he was one of the descendants of Ham. But then Paul, being of the Jews, was of Shem. These is Abraham's sons, wherefore the whole earth sprang after the flood. And then Cornelius, he sprung forth from Japheth. And so by the time you get through chapter 10, God has done reunited Ham, Shem, and Japheth. He's done saved the Samaritans. He's brought Ham, Shem, and Japheth into this thing. And he is showing clearly that Jesus has come for all of them. It didn't make any difference. Amen. He loved them all. And so here he was here with Philip, and he began to preach to him Jesus. This morning, in a short amount of time, I just want to preach to you just as Philip did. I just want to preach to you Jesus this morning. It said in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Certainly, they did humiliate our Lord. There ain't no doubt about that. The Bible said that he endured the cross, despising the shame, but said it was for the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he did this for joy, but while he did it, it was something he had to endure, and he despised the shame. They stripped him of his clothes. I'm talking about the Lord, probably the meekest man that ever lived, though he had the greatest authority of any man that ever lived. And they stripped him of his clothes and hung him on the cross by his hands and feet with nails driven in. I'm not trying to over-dramatize this. I don't think I could this morning. I don't think we can understand. And it ain't just the physical suffering, the things that they did. They whipped him, they scourged him, they hung him on a cross, they stripped him of his raiment, they made fun of him, they mocked him, they tempted him to come down. Brother Kenneth said something the other night that really stood out to me. He said, you know, they said, "If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross and save thyself, you know, and then we will believe thee. We will believe you." And Brother Kenneth was preaching, and he said, really, said that what they should have said is, "If thou be the Christ, don't come down from the cross. Stay on the cross, because that's the only hope we got." I thank the Lord, let me, Brother Kenneth, I will continue to remember that and that line of thinking, because that's exactly right. If thou be the Christ, don't come down from the cross, because, Lord, this is the only way. This is the way that you predetermined, that you foreordained to bring God's hand and man's hand back together. So, Lord, please stay on that cross. Until you die, till you give up the ghost. Lord, not because we want to see you suffer. Lord, not because the way. That's the only way. And Lord, you love us enough to keep hanging on that cross. They wrote a song one time, said, he just hung there. He just hung there. Everything they did, he just kept on hanging there. Well, he could have come down from that cross. There ain't no doubt about that. Legions of angels at his disposal stood on ready. He could have brought them down and destroyed all the world. Ain't no doubt he could have done that. But he said, God, he said, Father, he said, not my will, but thine be done. And so Philip, no doubt, was telling this eunuch, these same things that I'm telling you, some of these same things, because that's the gospel this morning, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on Calvary's cross, that he shed his blood to pay for my sins and for yours. And then they took him down from the cross, and a man named Joseph said, let him have my tomb. And 3 days later, God raised him up, and he come up glorified, and he's alive forevermore today. And he showed himself to many witnesses, amen, that was able to eat and drink with him and sit with him and listen to him talk after his resurrection. And above 500 brethren saw him after his resurrection. That would have held up in any court, Brother Kenneth. But yet it don't hold up in some hearts today. But I'm telling you, Jesus is alive. And he is God's Son. And if you believe that this morning, you can be saved. And you can be baptized. Somebody may watch Jack get baptized. See, this meeting ain't about Jack. It's about Jesus this morning. Amen. And why he's getting baptized is about Jesus this morning. Amen. All of it's about him. You may see Jack getting baptized. He's got friends here today. There may be other ones, old or young. And you may say, I'd love to be baptized. I won't tell you what. You can be baptized. But first off, you need to get saved this morning. And the man that can do it is in our midst. His name is Jesus. And he's God's Son. And he died on the cross to pay for your sins. Amen. And you can believe in him. If you want to turn from sin this morning and be saved, then I just recommend just take a trip down to the altar and call out on the name of the Lord. Somebody said, why you got to pray? He didn't say you had to pray. But I'm going to tell you what, praying goes real good with repenting and believing. He said, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And then how shall they hear? Amen. Except a prayer. How shall they believe except they've heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's all in Romans 10. That's Romans 10, 13, 14. But in Romans 10, 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's why I encourage people to pray. I know there's been people that got saved on their way to the altar by their testimony. And I believe that this morning. Because he didn't say we had to pray. He said, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's where we get to righteousness. It's not by works, but it's by believing. He said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so I understand you could believe and not necessarily pray in that moment, but praying sure does seem to go hand in hand. And I'm going to tell you what, from one man to another, I was praying when I got saved. Amen. Not all were, but I was. And the Bible said it works that way. Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. They saw that in the book of Acts. This book of Acts is the beginning, the formation of the early church. And it's a lot of things goes on. Peter got up and he said, this is what Joel prophesied. We seeing these things come to pass. This time when they said there's coming a day, they had told them there was coming a day like this, that when whosoever called on the name of the Lord should be delivered. That was in the Old Testament. I believe the word delivered was used, if I remember it correctly. And then Peter preached it in Acts here at the early church. And Paul continues on to the Romans in chapter 10, telling them the same thing that God had prophesied a long time ago. And they were living in this day. And Philip preached all these things. I don't know what he said. I don't got a record of what he said. But I know he preached unto him Jesus this morning. And that's what I've tried with God's help to preach unto you. And after he got done preaching, said they went on their way and came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip didn't say, jump in there, boy. He said, you can, If you believe with all your heart, you can. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that, Jack? Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Amen. He is. He is this morning. And we got to believe that to be saved. That's the gospel this morning. It's the gospel. And he preached unto him Jesus. Later on, Saul here in the first of this chapter, he was wreaking havoc on the church. The next chapter starts out him getting saved. Then next thing, Cornelius' house gets saved. Paul, too, believed before he got baptized. You find his baptism. Same thing with Cornelius. The difference here being in this case with the Samaritans, they received the Holy Ghost after baptism. The Lord had a unique thing he was doing here, bringing in the Samaritans. And he needed, evidently, the apostles to see this and witness this. But after that, these people were receiving the Holy Ghost and then being baptized. That's how it happened in Cornelius' house. And that's why they knew it was all right to baptize them. He said, hey, because again, this was unusual. This was Gentiles. This was Gentiles. But Peter said, the Lord has already showed me not to consider any man to be common or unclean. And he said, I preached to them and said, the Holy Ghost fell on them just like it did on us. And he said, so what, can any man forbid water? That was his question. Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized? And then even the Jews had, even the saved Jews, it wasn't necessarily bad. They had come from that Jewish background. They agreed. Well, I said, yeah. And when he got back home and told them, they rejoiced and said, well, then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance too. And that's all right with that. Amen. Because once you get saved, you're glad for anybody to get saved. I'd love my worst enemy to get saved because he wouldn't be my enemy no more then. He'd be my brother in Christ. And I don't want him to die and go to hell anyway. And so it don't make no difference. And there's level ground at Calvary. And whoever you are, young, old, mean, not so mean, pretty, ugly, rich, poor, whatever it is, the Lord stands with outstretched arms. And if he speaks to your heart, he'll receive you this morning just as you are, just like you are. You ain't got to go home first and pour out your liquor and your beer. No, no, you don't got to do that. Just come to him just like you are. God, you see, he can read the heart. They say, well, the Lord might not do it till he knows I'm going to. The Lord already knows you're going to go back home and pour out your liquor. He knows that already. Just come to him like you are. He reads the heart of man. I might not know whether it's genuine or not, but I guarantee you the Lord knows whether or not it's genuine. Don't do anything else. Come just like you are. Just as you are. Bring it all to God. The bad, the brokenness, the ugliness, bring it all to the Lord. He can handle it this morning. His blood covers it all. If you'll repent, if you're willing to turn from your way of sin and turn to God and believe on Jesus Christ, call on his name, tell him you want to be saved. You don't want to die and go to hell. You believe he died for you. Believe he resurrected. He's alive. God will save you this morning. I tell you, I didn't know all the things to say the day I got saved. The only thing I did say was save me, really. But again, the Lord reads the heart. It ain't all the things we speak with our mouth. And I don't even know if I said that out loud. But I know that I, from within, said, save me. That's what I said. And you know, the Lord, when you get to that place, and God brings you to that place, he knows how to get you the rest of the way. And God will get you in. Just pour your heart out to him, tell him you want to be saved. Come on with a verse for song. Brother William, stand with us. We'll give an invitation.